So Hebrews chapter 13. I'm just going to go where God told me to go. Amen. 13:8. I've got notes. I type up all my notes. I always type them all up. I'm not going to say I'm going to follow them. It's like our music. Yeah, like Mark says, we don't always follow what we do. We just go for it. In 13:8, we know this scripture. And this is what comes to my heart so often when we read the Word, when we approach the Word of God, this is what comes to me. I grew up in the United States of America. I grew up in Arkansas and others. I'm actually born in St. Louis, blah, blah, blah. And so where you grow up hearing things the way they're taught you from the perspective of the one teaching you. And I grew up Southern Baptist. Amen. How many of you grew up Southern Baptist? Went to Southern Baptist churches. I thank God for my Southern Baptist roots. The thing about a Southern Baptist is they're going to get you in the Word. You're going to memorize the Word. I mean, I remember training union. You know Southern Baptist, you had a thing called training union. Sunday nights, all the youth went to training union. Training union was designed to teach you the Word of God. I memorized all the books of the Bible in training union so I could get that coveted little plastic Bible thing that you stick down in your Bible that would always tear your pages, and it had a little clip. It was a little clip, but I'd coveted it. But man, if I could memorize the scripture, I'd get it. Elementary school. You took in the Southern Baptist Church, you would show up with your envelope. On your envelope would have boxes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? On those boxes would say, did you read the lesson? Are you giving today? Are you attending Sunday school? Are you going to church? Are you doing that? And you would check those boxes. And man, I was a box checker. Did you memorize the verse of the week? You better believe it. Craig Hobson was always the one that had it memorized, if not the only one that had it memorized. Why, you say? Because they would give you a coin. I was about the cash. But I memorized scriptures as a little boy and I didn't know Jesus. I memorized scriptures in the first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and didn't know Jesus. Went to Sunday school, went to church, went to training union. Are you with me? And didn't know Jesus. I knew about Him. I could tell you all the quote-unquote, as we call them, stories in the Bible. But let me clarify something. The stories in the Bible are not just stories. Those are real live accounts of things that really happened. Yes, I'm a literalist. I believe when things are written, it's the Word of God spoken to us, for us to hear it, for us to believe it, for us to act on it, and for us to move with it. But as that little fifth grade boy, when the guy came to my house to tell me the Baptist preacher in his polyester suit and a tie this wide, remember it? Polyester tie. Greased back hair, if I can remember. And he told me about Jesus sitting in front of a coffee table. It radically changed my life. So much so that when I went back to school the next day, I told everybody in my class in the fifth grade about Jesus and everybody on the school campus. Now, mind you, and I know you look at me and you laugh, I was one of the toughest guys in my school. I never backed down from a fight. Why? I had two older brothers that beat the snot out of me all the time. So anybody in school was, I loved to fight. It was something I enjoyed. I still wouldn't mind a good one every now, but in a different way. But that competitive spirit was in me. So when I met Jesus, I go back to school and I tell my friends, it was like, I can literally, in my mind's eye, I can see in the fifth grade, Mrs. Story's class. Man, let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. Man, this man came to my house, told me about Jesus. And Jesus came in my life. And he did something, and man, my heart was just, I was crying. And they're looking at me like, Craig Hobson, you're that tough guy that beat people up, man. Now, beat punks up, not the good people. But Jesus changed my life as a fifth grade kid, all the way from then to this day. Okay, now, why do I tell you that? I tell you that to say this. We say stories because we grew up hearing these stories and these accounts out of the Word of God. We can tell the stories. Jonah and the whale, by the way, that's Gadol. It's a big fish, not a whale, but we won't go there. And he was swallowed by a fish. Or Jesus lived and died. He's born of a virgin, lived, died, buried, and resurrected. Amen. What is that doing to change your life? What does that do to change my life? Something snapped as a fifth grade kid. Something snapped. The reality of Jesus took over. And I stand here today at 60 years old, weeping because of the presence of God. Every time I preach, it's like, God, why do I get emotional? Because it's power. There's power in the gospel. There's power. The same Jesus that walked this earth is the same Jesus that's alive now. You know what it says in Hebrews 13:8, and I finally got there. I don't even know if it's up. I give you that verse. Jesus Christ is the, say it with me, same. Say same.
Same.
Do you know what that word means? That word same means it's immutable. Immutable means it cannot be changed. It is what it is. If something is made that's immutable, it's there, it will always be there, and it can never be changed. That's what that word means. Jesus Christ is immutable. He can never change or never be changed. So that's a fact that we get. Jesus is the same. Yesterday. Well, when was yesterday? Yesterday? 10 years ago was yesterday. 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago was yesterday. So for 2,000 years, the same Jesus that walked the earth. Listen, I could show you Jesus in the Old Testament if we had enough time. I taught a class on that. This church came to me and said, hey, can you teach a class? World Harvest. On Christology, I go, great, let me go find the books. I couldn't find books on Christology. So I wrote it. So I just started studying the Word and wrote it for months and taught Christology at World Harvest Bible Institute and found Jesus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You begin to see Jesus all through the Word.
Yeah.
Why? Because Jesus has always been from eternity, as our brother said, to eternity. Jesus is not changing. Jesus has always been there. So Jesus is the same yesterday, but Jesus is the same, the Word says, today. You know what that means? Right now, this minute. Isn't that awesome, Scott? Right now. The same Jesus that raises dead people, opens blind eyes, makes legs grow. The same Jesus that cures all diseases, COVID-19.
Come on.
The same Jesus that did all that he did, walked on the water, turned bread, took bread, broke it, and fed 5,000 one time, 4,000 another, and then on top of it says, oh, here's 7 baskets for you left over if you want to go eat later. That Jesus is the same today. Now, some of our brothers and sisters, Lord, forgive them, believe that Jesus can't do those things anymore. Some believe that when the Spirit came in Acts, that He did that and then He left. I'm here to tell you. That goes back to what I first said. We hear things growing up and we begin to believe those things about God. I'm here to tell you, the God of this Bible is not an American God. The God of the Bible is a God that today, if you have an issue, can heal you physically, spiritually, mentally. That same God today, if you have a need, thank you, I will blow. That God will do anything. So today, as you hear this, you go, yeah, I've heard this stuff before. No, you haven't. And why do I say no, you haven't? Because what you've heard is in your head information, but it hasn't sunk to your heart. Because maybe you heard a preacher preach it, and you never saw it. You see, I was in a church one day. I was in my friendly Baptist church. And listen, some of my best friends are Southern Baptist pastors, ministers, on state convention boards. Some of my best friends, awesome guys. Love them. Love them. You would love to hear them preach. They're phenomenal men of God. But I was at a church and I was preaching stuff like this in a Baptist church. Doesn't always go well. I was called to the back of the room. I was on staff of this church before I got kicked off. It's all right. I've been kicked out of 5 churches. Get over it. So I'm preaching, and I'm called to the back of the room, into the foyer, and he says, "Craig, I've never seen that before. Can't be real. I've never seen it. What do you think about that? Never seen it. Well, have you ever seen your brain? Have you really? Seriously, have you ever seen your brain? Nope. Then how do you know you got one? Have you ever seen the South Pole? I didn't say if you saw it on a TV or a map or something like that. Have you ever seen it physically? Nope. How do you know it exists? Oh, but the map. I said, how do you know it exists? Just because a person has never seen something doesn't mean that God doesn't do it. The reason that you haven't seen it is probably because you haven't asked God or believed God's word when it's spoken. Because to believe God's word and act on His word causes us to have to die to us and really stick ourselves out there and stick our neck out there and look like and risk everything to look like a fool. I don't mind looking like a fool. I see him every day in the mirror. So it's not about knowing about God like a kid I was, but it's knowing God. And knowing God does things. I'm not going to go into details of what I've seen Him do, but I've seen Him do miracles that you see in the Bible. He does them. Yeah, seen blind eyes open. Yeah, cancer leave bodies. Let me give you a little story. Mom, hi. This week, I'm driving home. Tuesday night, I'm driving home. My sister calls me. And maybe it's Wednesday. I lose track of the day. When Johnny and I get to work and we just head down and we just forget it, don't we, Doc? We don't know what day is it. I don't know. We're just working. And so I get this call and I'm about 3 or 4 minutes from the house. You know what I'm thinking about? Hot coffee, sitting down, relaxing. I'm tired. And I thought it was my sister going to tell me about some surgery that she's going in for some knee stuff. I thought she's going to tell me, hey, sis, what's up? instantly a panic. Craig, pray for Mom now. She's unresponsive. My wife and I had just spent a week with my mom. Mama will give your age away, sorry. 86, July the 10th. She's unresponsive. I said, what's going on? She's sitting down. Her eyes are open. She's leaned over, but there's nothing, there's no one home. Craig, I don't know if it's a stroke. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. But she was there, and then she's done. And so I told, is she breathing? Yes. I've called 911, start praying. Now I have one of two things to do. Oh God, my mama. Or I can go, Lord, according to your word, in Psalm 118, 19, I believe it is, 118, 7, what is it? It says, she will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Because I knew the word, I started quoting that scripture. I said, Lord, your word says that they will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And Father, I speak to my mother's body in the name of Jesus. My mom will live. She will not die. And she's going to speak the word of the Lord because my mom will speak it. So I instantly did that. I called Melanie. Or I think I not even called Melanie. I didn't have time because I was almost home. I walked in the door and said, Melanie, I was calm. So we got to start praying for Mom. I sent a text out, Jessica, and I said, guys, and this is how I sent it. And I worded it this way. I said, look, if you believe in God and you believe the real in prayer and believe in the Word of God, I want you to pray right now. You got that? I said, I want you to pray and believe with me that my mother will be fine because we don't know what's going on. So they called the 911, took her to the hospital. A little while later, my mom's sitting up. Everything's fine. They can't figure it out. Still can't figure it out. Blah, blah, blah. Well, her blood pressure shot up. And she was in the hospital. Her blood pressure was still high. I'm going, well, whatever. Lord, you're going to take that down. So the next morning, my mom's home. I call her and talk to my mom, and my mom's back to normal, Lucille Ball. Give me all these crazy things. We talk. I get her cackling, laughing. I said, well, Mom, Melly texted your mom. Would they ever find out? And the doctor's going, no, they're still guessing. Call it what you want. Name it anything you want to name. But the last I heard, there's no name under heaven that's higher than the name of Jesus. Amen?
Jesus! Come on.
Melanie tells me this story last night. Our daughter, our son-in-law, is a state investigator for Iowa. He goes and investigates all the stuff that you and I don't want to see, right? So he's a state investigator. And our daughter calls and says, hey, Andrew, Hi has just called away, and he had to go south because there's a 4-year-old girl that's been kidnapped. They can't find her, but 24 hours, something like that. So they're rushing down to try to find this girl. They can't find this girl. And Meredith goes, start praying. Now, our Meredith, don't mess with Meredith. That girl will pray, right? She gets dreams, and that girl walks with God. So we start praying. We send it. Pat, you got it. Melanie sent it out to several people, said, start praying. Now, here's the story. I'm just telling you the real life stuff here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. So we get a call. I mean, she get a text back, Melanie. Is that what happened exactly? They found the girl under a bed 24 hours later. She's 4 years old. Now, what's the girl doing under a bed? How did the girl get under the bed and sleep for 24 hours? A 4-year-old. When was the last time you saw a 4-year-old can sit still for 24 hours? Now, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. But it sure sounds fishy to me that a 4-year-old disappears. They can't find her. They search the house. They search neighbors, everybody, cops, everybody searching for 24 hours, can't find her. And all of a sudden they go in the house and she's under the bed. That's just something you can take and figure out yourself. I believe in the power of prayer and the Word of God. Yeah. Now, still at the top of my first page. You know, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord in Genesis 15, 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Abram saw that vision of God. It was after this vision that Abram believed God, and God counted it unto him as righteousness. Okay, then we've got, you can throw up 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 3. This is a great passage. And the child Samuel, remember his mother's name? What was Samuel's mother's name? Hannah. You got it. Hannah, she had prayed for the Lord. Remember, she's the one that's praying. She goes in at the time and she's praying. The priest sees her, Eli. He says, she's drunk. He's drunk. So they go to, he goes to her, he goes, no, sir, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying. I don't have a child. He goes, oh, you're going to have one a year from now. She said, if I do, I'm dedicated to the Lord. She brings Samuel back to Eli after he's weaned. He's now in the house of the Lord. And the child Samuel ministered unto Jehovah before Eli. And the word of Jehovah was precious in those days. There was no frequent vision. It was very uncommon to hear the word of the Lord. So this is what goes on. Let's continue. Let's roll it. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place. Now his eyes had begun to wax dim so that he could not see. So Eli was old. Old, and he couldn't see very well. And it goes on, it says, and the lamp of God was not yet gone out, and Samuel was laid down asleep in the temple of Jehovah where the ark of God was. That Jehovah called Samuel and he said, here am I. Let's go. And he ran into Eli and he said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Let's go. And Jehovah called yet again and Samuel and Samuel. And Samuel arose and he went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. And now Samuel did not yet know Jehovah. I did not yet know God in the first, second, third, fourth grade, although I was in church. And he's living in the place. And he didn't know Jehovah. I'm going to pause. As we sit in this room today, as we all are in here, it's not uncommon that there's someone in this room that knows all about God, all about Jesus, and doesn't have a relationship with Him. That's reality. I wish it wasn't, but in a room this size with this many people, easily that can be truth. So today, as the Word of the Lord is coming out, I'm asking the Word of the Lord to prompt your spirit. And maybe you say, oh, I do know Jesus. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Great. Are you walking with God? Because now more than ever, we need men and women of God to walk with the Word of God and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power. So let's get back to this one. Let me finish where I was. That was just free side preaching. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And Eli perceived that Jehovah had called the child. Next verse. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, thou shalt say, speak Jehovah, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And we know the rest of the story. God's called him again, and he said, speak, Lord, for I'm listening. You see, here's what happens. We can sit in a church. We can say we know Jesus. We can say we understand Jesus, and we hear information, and we know about it, and we totally miss the Word of God. We totally miss the God that wants to speak to us. We totally live our lives, and we can miss this God. Why? Why would we want to miss this God? What a powerful God. What an awesome God. And Samuel goes, speak, for thy servant's listening. So today, we need to say, speak, Lord. Speak, for thy servant is listening. And we've got to remember, we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to the Lord. And everything that God gives us It's only because of Him giving it to us, allowing us to have it. Give me a, I got Psalm 135. Is that up there? Listen to this. I wait for Jehovah. My soul doth wait. And in His word, and in His, say this, and in His word, say that.
In His word.
Say that again.
In His word.
Do I hope?
Do I hope?
And in His word do I hope? Say it.
In His word do I hope.
This is where I've gotten in my life. If I can't get a word from the Lord, I ain't gonna make it. I gruel as I seek God before I preach because I say, God, I've got to hear Your word. Because if I stand here and you've fallen asleep because I'm talking about information that you guys go, I've heard them stories. They're not stories, they're accounts. Then something's wrong. I've got to preach under the unction of the Holy Spirit because I hear a word from the Lord. You know what I'm talking about, brother? Rex, guy, you get it. I love you, man. Did I give you another verse? Psalm Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Jessica thinks I give a lot of verses. Amen. Thus saith Jehovah. She loves it though. Amen. Thus saith Jehovah. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What manner of house will you build unto me? And what place shall be my rest? Go on. Verse 2. For all these things hath my hand made. And so all these things came to be, saith Jehovah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. I tremble at the word of God. I don't want to miss it. This is what I want to be. I want to be, go ahead and leave that up for a second. I want to be poor in the sense that, God, I can't do it apart from You. Contrite spirit, God, I'm broken before You. You've got to be broken. You know, the Scripture says for us to be broken. To be broken in His hand. And He can mold you and shape you. And trembleth at His word. When God speaks, there ought to be the Spirit of God ought to make you shake. Inside, I mean, just like, ooh. Man, there's, you know, in a good way, just the word of God has just moved my spirit. Luke 3, 2, did I give you this one? It says the word of God came to John. You know, when we read this in the priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. You know, we talk about John the Baptist. He wasn't a Southern Baptist, by the way. It was John the Baptizer. That's why they called him the Baptist. So John the Baptist there, it says, we know the account of him. Where John the Baptist goes out and he preaches, and we can talk about it. Man, he wore the camel's hair and he ate the honey and all that stuff, and he lived, and he's a wild dude out there. But do we ever stop to say, well, how did that happen? Well, it's because of this word right here. The word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Now, all through the Scripture, Jeremiah, I mean, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, I mean, you just shoot through it, the word of God, the word of God, the word of God, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, you name it, the word of God came, the word of God came, and the word of God came. And they did what the word of God told them to do. And the word of God came unto John in the wilderness, but it didn't stop there. He took the word of God and he went out and preached to the point that they cut his head off. June the 29th, which is how many days from now? Two? One? 2 days? Did I tell you what day it is? I don't even know. June the 29th is actually, it's the day of the Christian martyr. More than ever before, in our history, People are being murdered for being Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. That's reality. More than ever. I mean, they're killing them right and left. They would love to let the United States be another country in which they could kill Christians. Don't be fooled. So in the United States, I sat down, and last night I was talking to Melanie. It was late in the night, and I'm in here praying, going over this, you know, making sure I have something, exactly what God wanted me to say. I said, Melanie, it's amazing. I said, you know, in America we have so many Bibles, and I'm sitting there at my desk, and I've got my Word open. And I turned right here, and I had this little case, and I counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is 7. I glanced over here about 4 feet away. There was my 8th Bible. 8. They're begging for Bibles around the world. Begging so they can get the Word and know what the Word of the Lord is for them. And I've got 8 Bibles. Can't read 8 Bibles. I don't know where I got off on that. But anyway, June 29th, there was a lady that was martyred for her faith, and they have a little video about her. Her name was Rocio Pino. She was martyred for her faith in Jesus. She was in Colombia, and she was in it's called the Red Districts or the Red, because that's where the Colombia cartel is. And this was her quote of what she would say. She goes, "All who come here will hear about Christ," in the middle of knowing that it cost her life. And she did. So one night, there's a knock at the door. They were in bed. The husband goes up and goes, yes, and he recognized the guys. They were a member of the military, the bad military. They said, our motorcycle's broken down, so they went out there. So she comes to the door, and the man standing there, he goes, is your name? And he, Gabriella or something, made up a name. She goes, no, my name is, and let me say her name, it's Rocio Pino. They go, okay, boom, 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 shot her and killed her right there. They tried to get it in emergency vehicles to come, but because it's a red district, they said, no, we just let those people die. So she went ahead and died right there in front of her kids and her husband. There's martyrs around the world, and if you, Melanie, is there a website? It'd be an awesome website for us to just recognize. The Voice of the Martyrs, vom.org. Guys, we need to wake up and know the Word of the Lord. I'm going to end this. And this time I'm going to end this. I'm going to tell you a true story that took place right after the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln, we know the Emancipation Proclamation, September the 22nd, 1862, I'm correct, and it was January the 1st, 1863, is when it was going to be put into action. And we know that really it was the 13th Amendment that eventually ratified slavery to be abolished completely, because that the Emancipation Proclamation technically, I'm not going to get into all the details, but technically it was just for the southern states at the time. So really the northern states could still have slaves, which they did. We won't go there. But the Emancipation Proclamation was written. And in the southern states, there was a slave that could read. Now, the slave owners didn't like the slaves to be able to read, because if they could read, they'd know truth. If we read, we'll know truth. So he read. He got a hold of a copy of the Emancipation Proclamation, and he read it. He went to all the slaves on the plantation. He goes, hey, guys, we're free. Hello? You like that, Robin? We're free. And so he said, we're done. They said, we're done. Boom. We're out of here. They all gathered up and they started walking. The owner said, shh, you're not going anywhere. The man with the Emancipation Proclamation said, I've read it. I've read the Emancipation Proclamation. It says that I'm free. You can do whatever you want to do, but we're leaving and we're walking out now because we're free. And the owner dropped his gun, and they walked out. Now, guys, I tell you that story because it has a multiplicity of things going on in it. Christians in America, and I'm going to now speak from my guts, are ignorant of the Word of God. We have an American version of Jesus Christ, which is not a biblical Jesus Christ. The Bible Jesus still does everything. And when we get through here in a minute, I'm going to stand right here and we're going to have an invitation. If you need healing, I'm praying for you. If you need deliverance, I'm praying for you. Because, see, He still casts out demons. If you need something in your life, I'm praying for you. My wife will be here. Rick will be here. Others in here will be here. We're going to pray for you because that Jesus will do it. This slave read it. He believed it. He stood on it, and he faced the opposition, and he walked free. We as believers need to read it, believe it, stand in it, and face the opposition that comes against us and walk free. That's free preaching from my guts. But God has called me to call the American church out of the slumber, out of the sleep. Wake up, O church. Wake up, O sleeper, the Word of God says. Wake up and recognize this Jesus loves you like unbelievable crazy. And this Jesus has so much for your life, so much power for your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. That you, listen, you need to wake up and get into His Word and go, God, You've got a word for me today. And He will. You might be sleeping and you might get what's called a dream or a vision, and He will. You might be walking in a Walmart and the Holy Spirit says, hey, see that dude over there by the deal? And you go, yeah, that crazy guy? Yeah, go over there and talk to him and tell him, hey, man, I know God, you're struggling with such and such and such and such. I ain't gonna do that. Do it. When the Word of the Lord comes and you walk with God, you will know His voice. You see, the Word of God is the Holy Spirit will give you the Word of God. This is the written Word of God. And God Himself is the living Word of God. You can't lose. But you've got to know the Word. Christians, it's time for us, believers in Jesus, it's time for us to know His Word. And we need to come prepared on Sunday mornings. When our pastor steps up here, we need to have come in here prepared, prayed, and man, we need to be out here ministering to one another before we even walk in. And the Word of the Lord needs to speak to our spirit to where, you know, somebody might be on your heart. Like, I tell you, this is crazy. I do this. I'll be driving down the road and God will put James Eliff on my heart. Hey, James, I know you're not even watching. James Eliff was a high school friend. Hadn't seen James in years. Actually, I did. I called him up because I had to tell him. Holy Spirit kept putting James in my life. For years, I prayed for James Eliff. For years. I prayed James Eliff. Pray for James Eliff. Pray for James Eliff. Or somebody else, some person, you'll be driving and the Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, you know Scott Betchley? Yeah, pray for him. Okay. Guys, I'm not going to even go to the stories. It's 4 minutes, I'll be done. The Holy Spirit tells me stuff and I go, okay. I guess that's God. Well, let me see. It's gonna honor Jesus Christ. It's gonna help them out in the things of God. Duh. Go pray for that person. Well, what if they say no? You know what I found? 99.9. If there's one that said no, I don't even remember. Can I pray for you? Sure. Yeah, I mean, really, that's how they do it. Sure. Sure. I go, hey, man, Zorah, can I pray for you? Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Hey, come here, man. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brother. You see? Bless this man. I'm stopping. You get the point. I'm trying to stir your spirit. Let's stand up.